Our scripture comes from Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you.
I want to let you know I've been praying for our school to have a lot of kids, because I want to hear a song just like that where the kids outshine the older people in their singing. Amen. Let me tell you about the sermon today. Barb said, Luke, you are preaching to the choir with this title. Well, sometimes the choir needs to hear the message too. Jesus gave this message and quoted this commandment, so I feel it is well worth hearing. At least we will have the information to be able to teach the younger generations. June 1 today marks the halfway point between Mother's Day and Father's Day. So this message is to honor my mother and my father, and also my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. And I owe a lot to all four of them. They made me who I am. And they brought me a wonderful wife. So that said, let's open the Bible with a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for this word that you're giving us today to honor our father and mother and our elders and the seniors. And we want to obey all your commandments as you have instructed. We want to put you first in everything we do, and send us the Holy Spirit to guide me in this message and to make others receive the message as you would like to have them receive it. In thy holy name, amen. You probably notice the Ten Commandments are found in Exodus 20. But they are also repeated in Deuteronomy 5. Did you notice that? That was in the song. And you will quickly find out that Jesus repeated the fifth commandment in Mark 7. So turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 7, and we will see what he has to say. This morning I wanted to honor our seniors. If I was to ask for all the seniors to stand, I wonder who all would stand. I don't think I would. I wouldn't stand. The Bible has a lot to say about respecting and honoring your elders. Have you known anyone to make fun of or joke about older people? And that thought should frighten you, because the Bible pronounces a curse on people and nations that disrespects its seniors. Jesus addresses this issue. You will find this in Mark 7, 10 to 13. In Jesus' time, the Israelites had adjusted their laws to where it was no longer necessary to honor their father and mother. Shortly after that time, the nation of Israel was destroyed. Mark 7, 10 to 13 says, Jesus said, For Moses said, Honor your father and mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. Wow. But you say, if a man says to his father and mother, Whatever profit you might receive from me, in other words, whatever financial help you might receive in your old age because I am your child, is Corban. Whatever profit you might receive from me is Corban. They would pronounce Corban over their possessions. Is what that means was, well, you know, Mom and Dad, you're getting old, you can't work anymore, and you don't have sufficient funds, but I can't help you with my funds because I have dedicated everything that I have to the Lord when I die. And so if I give any of it to you, it is robbing God. Wow. They created a man-made law so they could benefit from their own possessions as long as they wanted, but they didn't have to use it to take care of their parents. That was the so-called fine print in this tradition called Corban. And Jesus said, you are making the law of God none effect by your tradition. I got a little quote out of our Sabbath school lesson that goes along with this on Monday. This is the law that can never be broken. It cannot be done away with by tradition or man. This law stands fast as a faithful witness in heaven. Every part of this law must remain in force upon all mankind and in all ages, not dependent on either time, place, or any circumstance to change. Jesus was saying, the law on earth deposited by Moses in the earthly ark was an exact transcript of the law of the ark in heaven. The traditions of the day had come to the point where they no longer respected their elders, and several years after that, Jerusalem was leveled. What is God's commandment that was read in the scripture reading? Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. This is the first commandment toward our fellow man, and it is a command with a promise. It's actually pretty cool to get a promise like that for obeying one of God's Ten Commandments. Amen? There are statistics that has shown that one's general life expectancy is based on one's respect for the parents and the elderly. The life expectancy of different parts of the world range from 40 to 80 years on average. Some of the Western cultures where there is a lot of disregard for their elders and seniors, the life expectancy have been significantly shortened. The longest life expectancy is Japan, which is 80 years of age average. And in Japan, their culture has the highest regard for elders, their seniors, and their parents. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. And I like the way Deuteronomy said, that it may go well with you. One of the first things that we see in the life of Jesus is he recognized who he was. He was the Son of God at 12 years of age. He went with his parents to the temple. His parents lost track of him, and they spent 3 days looking for him. They eventually found him in the temple, asking and answering questions with the elders there. Jesus was not only teaching them, but he was asking questions of the elders who taught in the temple. His parents found him there. They said, "We have been looking for you, sorrowing for 3 days." Jesus said, "Don't you know I would be about my Father's business?" The Bible says in Luke 2:51, he went down with them, this was afterwards, with them and came to Nazareth, and he was obedient to them. King James Version said he was subject to them. Here you have God encapsulated in the form of a young boy, and he was subject to his parents, willing, obedient, and respectful. Jesus set a pattern for all of us, didn't he? In the Bible, where it says, honor your father and mother, it is not simply saying, respect mommy and daddy. Honor your father and mother is an all-encompassing command, very broad and comprehensive, and includes respecting your parents and your elders. Many times in the Bible, it refers to an elder as your father or mother. When the culture stops respecting its seniors, it is on the downward path. Why should I spend my money taking care of mom and dad? That is why I pay taxes. Modern Corbin. Yeah. Grandma and grandpa are dedicated in the movies as goofy, silly, and senile. That is not the picture the Bible portrays of the elders. They were revered for their experience and for their wisdom. Straight across the board, God would have us respect our elders because there's a blessing in here that we would be missing otherwise. That the days may be long upon the land. How many of you want that promise? I do. There are some stories in the Bible where they fail to do that. Turn to 1 Samuel 2:22-25. Eli had a couple of boys that did not respect their father very much, Hophni and Phinehas. Verses 22. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You made the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, the judge will judge him. But if one man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him?" Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father. Yeah, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord would slay them. Remember that statement, they did not heed the voice of their father. It meant that God was going to kill them because they did not heed the voice of their father. And Hophni and Phinehas died prematurely going into battle. Another story is about Rehoboam. This is a big loss back then because, and you'll see, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Turn to 1 Kings 12:1-20. Now, who is the wisest man that ever lived? Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. There was none like him before him, and none like him after him. Now, when Solomon died, the kingdom of Israel was at its peak, their pinnacle. All the promises that God gave to Moses about prosperity he would give to Israel, the territory that they would encompass, the people would be like the sand of the sea and the stars of the heaven. The Bible says that during Solomon's 40-year reign, there was extensive building. The temple just built was a thing of beauty. The Bible says, silver was like stones in the kingdom. Everything was made of gold. Highways all pointed to Israel during the time of Solomon. Goods and caravans were flowing from Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and all over. People came there for Solomon's wisdom. Now Solomon dies, and his son Rehoboam inherits this mighty kingdom at its pinnacle. When the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, she said, "Blessed are even your servants who even get to listen to your wisdom." Now Israel comes to coronate Rehoboam. 1 Kings 12:1-20 says, "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam," there's two people alike, Jeroboam's different than Rehoboam. "Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it. He was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt. When Jeroboam heard of it, that they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. Now during the time of Solomon, the kingdom was very prosperous, but to do all that, he taxed them heavily. Lessen the taxes, and we will vote for you. Have you heard that before? So he said to them, Depart 3 days and come back to me. And the people departed. He didn't know exactly what to say. He said, Give me a few days to think. And that was a prudent thing to do. Now we come to verse 6. Then King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. He said, How do you advise me to answer these people? And it would be good if he could get some counsel from his father Solomon, but to get counsel from the counselors of the wisest man that ever lived should really have been enough. These are the people, the wise men, the advisors, the counselors who stood before the wisest king who ever lived. In the times that they weren't counseling Solomon, they were at least learning from his presence. These men had tremendous age and experience, not only because they lived during the time of Solomon, but many of them, being elders, had lived during the reign of David also. Men filled with wealth of experience and knowledge and understanding. Do you know where wisdom comes from? It comes from experience, or being smart enough to learn from someone else's experience. It is better to learn from someone else's experience so you don't have to make all the mistakes yourself to learn from it. Amen. This is the next amen. God's experience is the best source of wisdom. Amen. Amen. And that's where Solomon got his wisdom, was from God's experience. Verse 7, And they spoke to him, saying, If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants, how long? Forever. If you can humble yourself for one day, they will serve you forever. Good counsel. Verse 8. Sad. But he rejected the advice of the elders had given him, and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, What advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Lighten the yoke which your father put upon us? These were his buddies, his peers. These were the new upstarts. They said, We don't want the old counselors who serve Solomon. We've had enough of that administration. Let's do something different. And he listened to his young friends. Now listen to the counsel they gave Rehoboam. Verse 9. Then the young men that had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, Thus you should speak to these people who have spoken to you, saying, Your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you say to them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. How arrogant. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. Wow, that's bound to get you elected, isn't it? You know what they were thinking? Don't allow these people to see you weak. You got to have a strong hand early in your administration. Let them know who's in charge. Put your foot down, slam your fist on the table, and show them your power. that was at the heart of their council. You start to let them push you around, and no telling where it is going to end. Verse 12. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, and the king, as the king had directed, saying, "Come back to me the third day." Then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice of the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges." So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of the events was from the Lord. God had prophesied that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord had spoken by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. God had predicted this. Anyway, he rejected the counsel the elders had given him. "I don't need the advice of these old bearded men. I'm king now. I don't need my father's old friends anymore. I can do things on my own." In some cultures, age is not looked upon as a deterrent, but a blessing. It is considered God's providence and protection in your life. Let me repeat that. It is considered God's providence and protection in your life. Verse 16. Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, "What share do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David." So Israel departed to their own tents, but Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the revenue, but all Israel stoned him and he died. Therefore King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. When all the Israelites heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. Only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to the house of David. The kingdom was divided. Rehoboam had lost 10 out of 12 tribes. 5/6 of his nation was gone, because he rejected the counsel of the elders. What do you think about his bad advice? I wonder what these young men had to say now. "Oops, sorry, I guess old codgers had it right. Sorry, King Rehoboam lost 5/6 of his income by not listening to the advice of the elders." When I came into this world, my dad was 47 years old. All my aunts and uncles wore gray hair, but one thing I noticed, that they gave me and my brothers very good advice, and seldom, if ever, they were wrong. The Bible says we should respect our elders. Proverbs 16:31. "The hoary head, the gray head, be a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." You want your gray head to be found in the way of righteousness. People with gray hair in our church are to be honored. Leviticus 19:32. "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." Wow. This is telling us about the elders in Israel who sat at the gate. And when they walked by, the people would just stand in their presence. They had this tremendous respect for the elders back then in that culture. And Jesus knew the saying and stories in the Old Testament for the elders. And this Corban law appalled him. Are we losing that now? It seems to me that there is a prevailing disrespect for elders. When we go to potluck, we often say women and children and visitors go first. But we should say anyone over 75 go first. And from now on, I'm making a rule at potlucks. Anyone over 75 goes first. Then you can put your children and visitors. Proverbs 20, verse 29. The glory of the young man is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. Do you know why hair turns gray? As we get older, the pigment cells in our hair follicles gradually die. Then there are fewer pigment cells in a hair follicle. That strand of hair will no longer contain as much melanin and will become a more transparent color like gray, silver, or white as it grows. Job 32, verses 4 to 8. Now, because they were older than he, Elihu wanted to speak to Job. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused. So Elihu, son of Barachel the Buzzite, answered and said, I am young in years, and you are old. Therefore I was afraid and dared not to declare any opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and a breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. That's, to me, another wow. There is a prevalent concept back in the time of the Old Testament who believed in the Bible and believed in God that when someone of years and experience, that the younger people should be quiet and listen. Interesting, isn't it? But there is a whole lot of young people talking back today that have no respect, and this is what Jesus was pointing out with his honor your father and mother speech. Sad to say, it sometimes can be considered cool if you make fun of old people. When a nation starts thinking this way, we are on our way out. The Bible teaches us to respect our elders and to turn to them for advice. Eli's sons did not listen, and they died. Rehoboam did not listen, and he lost 5/6 of his kingdom. Now, there's another story in the Bible of someone who did listen to the elderly. Esther listened. When there was a terrible crisis, and there was a decree in effect, and God's people were to be exterminated on a certain date, she sent word to Mordecai, who had been her uncle, old and had raised her. She was the queen of Persia. She didn't have to listen to him anymore. She had her driver's license, right? She knew everything now. That's what young people sometimes think. The Bible says he sent some advice to her and gave her some counsel. Esther 2:20 says, Now Esther had not revealed her family and her people just as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther obeyed the command of Mordecai as when she was brought up by him. Even though she was the queen now, she has people under her power. She has authority. She still listened to him the same as she did as a young lady growing up because she learned to respect her elders. I want to make this clear. Respecting our elders is not an inherent quality we are born with. I want to repeat that. Respecting our elders is not an inherent quality we're born with. It is something that must be taught. Children must be taught to respect their elders. These people in the Orient that have a tremendous respect for their elders are not born that way. It is in their culture they are taught that. Isaiah 46:4, even in your old age, I am He, God says, and even gray hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, and even I will carry and deliver you. Does God forsake us in our old age? No. He is with us as much as ever. When did Moses talk to God? When he was 80 years old. When did Daniel go to the lion's den? Most likely over 80, because he had been in Babylon for 70 years by then. Psalms 92, verses 13 and 14. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. Are you still bearing fruit for the Lord? As long as you got your mind and vitality, you can work for the Lord. The Bible tells us that it is the responsibilities of the elders to pass on the miracles of God's dealings, leading to the succeeding generation. So if you're an elder in your family, it is your responsibility to pass on the miracles of God's dealings to succeeding generations. The Bible tells us we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. This is another repeat. The Bible tells us that we are earnestly to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The movement that I love, the Seventh-day Adventist movement, is very precious. The doctrines, the fundamental truth that it embraces, were not put down carelessly. The fathers and mothers of the church that studied all night long, prayed all night long over a course of years to arrive at what is the truth and define those things for a succeeding generation can be trusted. If you don't study on your own, at least have the faith to trust your elders who did that. Proverbs 22:28 says, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. If you remove the ancient landmarks from the Word of God, you are walking on dangerous grounds, and soon you will see that you don't stand for anything at all. Do you know what the old people taught me? If you don't draw the line somewhere, then pretty soon truth will disappear. You need to be careful about what you read and what you watch. Not only can we learn from the seniors around us, but we can learn from the fathers and mothers in the faith that knew their Bible inside and out. J.N. Andrews, the first Seventh-day Adventist missionary, he knew his Bible so well that someone asked him one time, have you memorized the whole Bible? He said, no. But it is true, if the New Testament is destroyed, I could reproduce it. Wow, he memorized the New Testament. These people knew what they believed. At that point, I would like to see hands of anybody who has memorized even one chapter in the Bible. I know, it's embarrassing, isn't it? Anyway, we can trust the foundation of our fathers and at least study it for ourselves. And if you want to make it to heaven, go by God's word and the advice of the elders. That is the point Jesus was making. Do not discard your elders' advice and listen to them. Support and encourage them. With that, we'll close. And dear God, thank you for this message you gave us in Mark 7, verses 10 to 13, about honoring our mother and fathers and our elders. And we want to obey that, not just because It's one of the Ten Commandments, but because you said that, and that is our command. And teach us, give us wisdom and discernment that we will know what to do and what to say and how to encourage others among us, that we will be faithful to you until the end. In thy holy name, amen.
That was wonderful. Monday, the 27th, was Memorial Day, as you know, where you saw all the flags out. And I would like to play a song in closing, America the Beautiful.
Thank you, Ruth.